It's about Chinese New Year. And so this morning, I want to talk about a couple of aspects about Chinese New Year. Okay, one of the themes for Chinese New Year is the word Fu, means prosperity and blessing. Okay? And this theme is so important that some of the Chinese family hang the picture upside down. You remember that? So they turn the character upside down. And first time I saw that, I couldn't understand. They say that it is to prevent bad luck. Okay? So one of the themes of Chinese New Year is the theme for. That's why we say Gong Qi Fa Choy. It's the phrase about prosperity and blessing. Then another theme is the theme what we call double happiness. You will see this sign in a lot of the wedding hall. And that's why that one of the popular greeting we Christians say, we don't say Gong Qi Fa Choy, we say Happy Chinese New Year, 新年快乐. So happiness is a very important theme for us. So to start a new year in the lunar, in the Chinese calendar, blessing, prosperity, success, happiness, satisfaction are the key elements for people to desire. Okay? So, as we start a new year in this lunar, the concept of prosperity, blessing, success, happiness, satisfaction are key elements for people to desire, including Christians. So this morning, I want to look at two people in the Bible who have experienced wealth, experienced prosperity, but had two completely different outcomes. We're going to look at them. The first person we're going to look is Abraham. And I want to look at this particular scripture. Many years ago, when I read this verse stuck with me. This is the ending verse of Abraham. Genesis 25 verse 8. Abraham breathed his last and died at an old age, an old man, and satisfied with life. I'll pick that up with the last phrase. The Bible said that Abraham died at the age of 175 years old, an old age, 175. My grandfather died at the age of 100. This guy died at the age of 175 years old. And the Bible says he died at an old age. Furthermore, Abraham died as a very wealthy man because he was blessed by God. And if you read through the book of Genesis, you find that God blessed Abraham. He was a wealthy person in terms of servant, in terms of livestock. So, in our modern term, he was a blessed person. He had wealth and he had health. Okay? These two things are very important in our modern world. We not only want wealth, but we also want health. So this man had both. But there's something else that this person had, and the scripture revealed to them is that the best thing about Abraham was that when he died, he was satisfied with life. And many years ago, when I read this verse, the Holy Spirit convicted me and spoke to me and say that many people die of old age, but not many people are satisfied with life. And that is a challenging thing. It's no matter how long you and I live. It is at the end of this earth, when you departed, can you honestly say you are satisfied with life? You are satisfied with life. And many years ago, when the Holy Spirit spoke to me, every time I read the story of Abraham, it challenged me. Can I say I am satisfied with life? Many, many years ago, one of the richest men in the world was American called Howard Hughes. At one stage, he was the richest man in the world. You know, when he died, he was miserable. He was lonely. He was never satisfied with what he got. He always wanted to get more money. And he died a miserable man. So, wealth may not necessarily guarantee you satisfaction in life. Even you have the best health, not necessarily you'll be satisfied with life. And I believe that the primary reason Abraham was satisfied with life was from the moment God called him, he walked with God till he departed from this earth. The main thing that got Abraham to be satisfied with life was that every day he walked with God till he went up to heaven. Now, we're going to look at another person. And his name is King Solomon. At the end of his life, he wrote a book called Ecclesiastes, recording his experiences and reflection of his life. We read Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2, the beginning of his last book that he wrote. He said, "Meaningless, meaningless," said the teacher, "utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless." And our translation say, "Vanity, futility, everything is futility." Let's look at King Solomon. What did he have? He had wealth. In a modern term of his monetary wealth, his wealth was between $2 to $3 trillion. In our modern term, gold was so abundant that silver had no value. There was so much gold in his kingdom that silver had no value. He was the richest man in that period. The second thing, he had wisdom. He was the wisest man on earth at that time. People traveled from far to seek his wisdom. And he read many books and very knowledgeable. But then he said that wisdom and knowledge only causing pain. Then the next thing had pleasure. He said that what his eyes desire, he got it. No restraint. Now, have you ever think about it? Every time he sees something, any lady or whatever, he get it. There is no restraint. That's what he said. He has such a life of no restraint that the Bible recorded that he had 1,000 women to satisfy his desire. He had 700 wives. Think for a moment. I am very sure he won't know all the names of his wife. Probably his faces. One wife is already good enough. And sometimes my wife complains, I can't even say her name properly. One wife already hard to remember her name and her birthday, whatever. 700 wives. And to add into the mixture, the Bible says he had 300 mistresses and concubines. So imagine, Solomon said, whatever I desire with my eye, I got it. So he had wealth, he had wisdom, he had pleasure. At the end of his life, what did he say? He said, everything is meaningless. Completely meaningless. In spite of his wealth, wisdom, and knowledge, and all the pleasure he experienced, he was totally not satisfied with life. Contrast, Abraham as King Solomon. King Solomon, when he died, he said everything was meaningless, no purpose in his life. You know why? Because when he died, he was no longer walking with God, unlike his forefather Abraham. And the scripture says, at the end of the book, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, he came to one conclusion. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. So he came to this conclusion. His greatest regret when he died was that when I was young, I used to walk with God. But as I get older, I no longer walk with God. And he diagnosed why he was not satisfied with life. Because God is no longer a factor in his life. And therefore, he lived a life totally unsatisfied, without purpose. Pastor Reynolds introduced me. I was from Sarawak. I was raised in a very small town called Cebu. When I was growing up, that town had only one set of traffic light, and it is only for suggestion. I was growing up in that small town, only one set of traffic light, nobody observed, nobody, it's just for suggestion. And then I went over to New Zealand to study. In those days, during the summer holiday, three months, all the students worked, factory, waitresses, whatever. We all work so that we can support ourselves for the next year. I remember working in a factory, 10 hours, leave the house at 7 or 6 something, 2 hour bus ride, came to the factory, work long hours, 10 hours a day, and then come home at 8 o'clock, shower, eat food, 10 o'clock. I went to sleep 6 days a week for 3 months. And when I was going through, I began to reflect on my life. What is the purpose of my life? Oh, I want to get a degree. And after that, I want to get a job. After that, hopefully, I'll meet a very pretty girl, get married, have children, get a home, and then die. And then I was looking, reflecting my life. I just thought that, what's the purpose of living? And then 1974, Jesus came into my life. I was born again. And God gave me not only eternal life, God gave me a purpose beyond this life. As I surrendered my life to Him, God's grace and power was so good to me. He was able to use me the last 50 years to touch people's life. Family life were restored. Curses were broken. People come to living knowledge of Jesus, and people were healed. And when we were in East Malaysia, we reach out to the natives and we see witch doctor converted, and we see family. And you know what happened? What's that? Suddenly, I have a purpose in life. And now I'm retired, and people say, oh, how's retirement? I can tell you honestly, every morning when I wake up, I have a purpose to wake up. I have a purpose to wake up every morning, even though I'm retired. I have retired from pastoring, but I'm still active, letting the grace of God flow to be a conduit for the blessing of God. And I want to look at the topic, eternity in your heart. We sang a song just now, and Solomon said, God has made everything beautiful for his own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. And King Solomon described his condition. He said that in every human heart, God placed eternity in their heart. And someone said that there's a hole in the heart of every human being, that when God created you and I, He placed a God-shaped hole in every human heart. There's a void and emptiness in every heart. And that void and emptiness can only be filled by God. Once you don't have God in that place, you will fill that void with all kinds of temporary substitution, and they will never, never satisfy. I know of a relative of mine, and she had very good education, and then she married and got children, and she devoted her whole life raising up the children. Very good, noble. Then the children all got married, got their own kids, and she stayed by herself. And then she realized, I have poured my whole life on my children. They're all doing well. What is the purpose of my life? Mind you, that was a very noble cause. She was a great mother. But even then, it was not satisfying. As she reflected on her life, she got depressed. What is the purpose of my existence? One day, Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to verse 21, a rich young ruler came to see Jesus, and he asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You lack one thing. Go and sell all you have, give to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." So this young ruler had everything, and he wanted to have the assurance of eternal life. Jesus said, very simple, come and follow me. Surrender everything to me and come and follow me. Unfortunately, he went away very sad. And therefore, Jesus wants us to make him number one in our life. John 17, verse 3, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, Jesus Christ. You know, eternal life is not how long you live after you die. It is talking about the quality of life. The Bible says eternal life is knowing God, learning to walk with God. My wife Joanne was the only Christian in her non-Christian family for many, many, many years. And we will pray for her family over 40 years. One day, her younger sister suddenly asked her, "Sister, what can I do to have eternal life?" For years, she was not interested at all. As she got older, suddenly the Spirit of God worked in her heart, and then she said, "How can I be sure of eternal life?" Then Joanne began to share with her, and then one day, if you have been to Kuala Lumpur, there was this Federal Hotel and a rotating restaurant. We took her there and we said, "Are you ready to receive Christ in your heart?" She said, "Yes." So we got her to kneel down on the floor while the restaurant was moving. And she accepted the Lord into her heart. Now she is happy. Now she is part of her church and wanting to serve God. For one time, she was depressed. Now there's something in her life with a purpose and satisfied. Psalm 103, verse 2 to 5. The psalmist says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefit, who forgive all your sin and heal all your diseases, who redeem your life from the pit and crown you with love and compassion, who satisfy your desire with good things." Look at that word. The psalmist said, God will satisfy your life with good things. You and I, what we go, doesn't mean that you and I will have no problem. No, no, no. He will help us to go through that. And this scripture was a prophecy that 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross, he forgave your sin, my sin, and by his stripe, he took away all your sickness upon him. He broke all the curses in your life and instead released God's blessing upon your life. He brings a purpose and satisfaction in your life. Doesn't mean you won't have any trouble, but he gives you strength. And the Bible tells us that he took our sickness, he on the cross, he broke curses. I remember one time, one family came to our church in East Malaysia. He was a lecturer, and the wife was a teacher. They got three kids at that time. The second child was a boy. And for many years, at certain part of the year, he had high fever. Very dangerous for about 2 weeks or three. Every year, when that mom came, he would have high fever. And then they came to know Jesus. The whole family came to know Jesus. And they want to get water baptized. So, myself and my pastor, another pastor, we baptized the whole family in water. And then the Holy Spirit gave me a word of knowledge that this family had experienced curse upon their life. And this boy has been to see doctors and doctor, no cure. And every year, when the month arrived, the whole family were fearful whether the son will recover from the high fever. 102 for 2 weeks. And that day at the water baptism, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, "In the name of Jesus, I break the curse over the whole family." As they came out of the water. Years later, the father confessed and testified. From that moment at the water baptism, when the curses was broken, he never had any high fever at that month. Now, years and years later, he is a medical doctor in New Zealand. My brother and sister, at the cross, Jesus took your sickness, your sin, and he broke curses that have been placed upon us by the enemy. I remember one time, a friend of mine called Joanne and I and said, "Can you come to my house and pray for my daughter?" My daughter had been trying to have children. They've been married for a while. They were not successful. He said, "Can you come and pray?" I said, "Sure, we come." And then the Lord spoke to me and said, "Let us break the curse of barrenness." So we agreed together. We prayed for the daughter. We break the curse of barrenness in Jesus' name. 1 year later, the mother called me and said, "Pastor John, let me tell you the good news. My daughter just gave birth. Not only one child, twins, double blessing. God bless abundantly." some years ago when we have our church in Dandenong, one Buddhist lady came to the church service, has never been to a Christian church service. She was looking for a church member who was a lawyer. And she came in, never been to a church. As the worship was going on, she started to cry. And then she was so embarrassed, the makeup was, you know, all messed up. She went into her car, cleaned out with her whatever, and came back. As the worship was going on, she started to cry again, and she went back to the car, you know, with the tissue, whatever, just clean up her makeup, went back. Three times, the Spirit of God touched her, and this time she said, forget it. She's not going back to the car. She sat right through. And as I was preaching the word, at the end of it, she responded. She received Jesus into her life, and then she said, Pastor, I have such a severe insomnia. I have not been sleeping well for many years. I went to see doctors, specialists. I went to medium. I went to temple. Nothing helped. And then the Lord gave me a word of knowledge by His grace. We pray in Jesus' name. She went home. Later on, she told me that night was the first time she ever slept properly without medicine. And now she runs a Chinese restaurant. And while she was feeding the people, she's praying for them. And many people get saved, and many people were healed. She went back to China, and one by one of her relatives, her mother got saved, her sister got saved, the nephew got saved, one by one. And one day we did a flow chart. I think about a dozen people in her family come to know Jesus. All because one day she gave her life to Jesus. God gave her freedom, healing, and a purpose in life. Why don't we all stand right now? I'm going to ask the musician to come down. Just the musician, just play very soft music. I want us all just to stand with our head bowed and our eyes closed. I don't know probably any one of you, and that's good. This morning, perhaps there's someone here, if you are honest with yourself, you say, Pastor John, I am not sure whether I have the assurance of eternal life. If I am going to die today, I am not sure I'm going to go to heaven. You know, you don't have to leave this room without. Because the Bible says, believe in Jesus and you shall have assurance of eternal life. Jesus has already died on the cross for your life. All you need is to turn to God. That's the word repent. And believe and receive that gift. This morning, with all heads bowed, eyes closed, we said, Pastor John, I would like to receive the gift of eternal life. Could you just lift up your hand right now? I got to pray for you. Anyone else? Any? Just lift up your hand. Just say, yes, Jesus, I need to receive. Just lift out your hand. Just thank you. Thank you. I want us all just to pray that prayer of receiving Jesus. If you have not put out your hand, you just pray with conviction and rhythm. Let's all pray together out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, Let's pray all together out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. Today, I repent of my sin and ask you to forgive me. I open my heart to receive you as my Lord and Savior. Give me the Holy Spirit that I can be a new creation. In Jesus' name. Those of you who pray that prayer, lift your hand, just talk to someone.